Very good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday. We get together with Amber Boyens, registered nutritionist dietitian from Immunutrition right here in Madison. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We're going to talk about a special day today.
Yeah.
It is Corn on the Cob Day.
Indeed it is.
Everybody likes corn on the cob.
Who doesn't, right?
I don't know. Maybe it might be somebody out there. But
probably. I'm sure there's plenty of people who don't
not
like
many.
It.
Most people like look forward to corn on the cob
that's
season.
That's right. If you don't like it, today is not for you.
That's true.
Yeah.
The grocery stores are advertising, I see now, you know, it's available, and the farmers markets are opening and everything now. So
that's right.
Yeah. So good discussion, good topic. So let's have it. What are we going to talk about with corn on the cob?
Well, let's do it. So I thought we could highlight it a little bit today because corn has gotten kind of a bad reputation. Often people come into my office and they think that corn is something that they should be avoiding, when in fact, corn certainly has some nutritional value. So I thought we could highlight some of the nutritional value that it has and then talk about those things that made it a little bit made people a little less enthusiastic about it. So first of all, corn is a starchy vegetable. So when we think about nutrition as a whole, I frequently encourage vegetables, but we have two categories of vegetables. We have starchy vegetables and we have non-starchy vegetables. And non-starchy vegetables are things like broccoli and cauliflower, carrots, spinach, lettuce, all of those kinds of things. Tons and tons of non-starchy vegetables. When we think about starchy vegetables, that's our potatoes, beans, peas, and corn. So it's considered starchy because it's much higher in carbohydrate and thus starch than our other vegetables are. So a lot of people have taken that to mean that it just doesn't contain nutrition, and that's not true. Another reason that corn has gotten kind of a bad reputation is that if you have diabetes, our starchy vegetables are, again, higher in carbohydrates. So having limited amounts of them can sometimes be important for blood sugar regulation. So when we think about the serving size of corn, it's about half a cup, and half a cup is also often about half an ear of corn. So it's not a substantial amount, but that doesn't mean you can only have one serving. It just means when we measure carbohydrate, a half a cup is about 15 grams of carbohydrate, or one carb choice for those of you who are listening and counting your carbs out there. So it does raise our blood sugar, and it's not a replacement for our other colorful vegetables. So corn is in addition to our non-starchy vegetables, maybe in place of a potato or in place of bread rather than with. But it can be a great food to add in because it does come with tons of nutritional benefits. So first benefit, it's loaded with fiber. Fiber is super important. We've talked about gut health a number of times on here. We've talked about the importance of feeding our good, healthy gut bacteria. We've talked about the importance of regular bowel movements. I know nobody likes to talk about bowel movements, but they're really important to talk about. And corn can be something that helps a lot with keeping you regular because it is a good source of fiber. So in a medium-sized ear of corn that's maybe like 6 inches is kind of how they consider a medium-sized ear.
I consider that to be kind of a small one.
I would consider it to be small, too. I think maybe we just get bigger corn out here. I'm not sure. But you get about 2 to 4 grams of fiber in something about 6 inches. So that's a pretty good amount of fiber in a pretty small serving. It's also loaded with phytonutrients. We've talked about those. Do you remember what phytonutrients are?
Fido's a dog, I think.
Not quite what we're talking about.
Not that
about.
Fido.
Spelled a little different.
Oh, Fido.
This one is Phyto.
Oh, Phyto, not Fido.
P-H-Y-T-O.
Got it.
And remember, those are all the colorful things that we get from food. And that rich yellow color that corn often comes with is loaded with carotenoids. So we have a few in there. A couple that people have maybe heard of if they've bought any supplements for eye health. We have lutein and zeaxanthin. Have you heard of those before?
Lutein, I have.
Lutein.
Yes.
Yes. So lutein and zeaxanthin are two phytonutrients that we frequently see in eye health supplements, and they really are great for helping us maintain eye health. They're good for people with macular degeneration or other eye conditions like that. Zeaxanthin in particular, the belief is that it's kind of a light filter for us, so it helps protect our eyes from any harmful light that's coming in. And then beta-carotene. Another one that's good for eyes, but also really, really good for immune function. So when we're eating corn throughout the year, it's going to help prepare us for that cold and flu season that's coming up in the fall because we know it's right around the corner, right? Corn in general is just a whole food. And I frequently remind people, if whatever you're eating is a whole food, you're in pretty good shape. So let's talk about how you can eat corn.
Put a lot of butter on it and salt it up good.
There we go. You can boil it, add some butter and salt, and call it good. And that is just fine. Butter and salt, also two foods that have gotten kind of a bad reputation, but they're not bad. So those are perfectly fine to put with it. You can also grill it. Have you ever grilled sweet corn before?
I believe we have, yes. Yeah.
So grilled sweet corn is another way to eat it. You can also wrap it in foil with butter and your favorite seasonings, throw it in the oven, roast it. You can not wrap it in foil and put it in the microwave. So microwaving is one of those ways of cooking that, again, has gotten a bad reputation. People think that it eliminates all of the nutrition, but we've found that we can actually retain more nutrition because of the shorter cooking time. So microwaving is certainly an acceptable option as well. If you want to add more than just salt, you can put on paprika or garlic powder, put a little lemon or lime juice on it, add some Parmesan. Lots of ways to just eat it on the cob, right? Or you can add it to a salad. Have you ever had corn in a salad before?
I think I have, yes.
Yeah. Or like a barbecue chicken salad with corn in it is a great option. Corn chowder. Delicious.
It's good.
Mm. Yep. So you can freeze it. If you're not really in the mood for chowder on these days when it's getting above 80, freeze some of that corn and keep it for fall and add it in with some butternut squash and make a nice hearty chowder. Have you ever had gazpacho?
Is that like something of the German army or something?
It is not.
No, that would be Gestapo. Okay, yes. Never mind. No, I don't believe I have.
So gazpacho is a cold soup, usually made with tomatoes. You could do tomato and corn gazpacho. If you look online, you can find tons of recipes for that. Even a corn salsa with some chips. You can add it into tacos or make a Mexican street corn. Or you can even make dessert with corn. So one of the things that you can do is put it with Greek yogurt and blueberries and a little bit of maple syrup or honey. Put it on a cookie sheet and freeze it. And now you've got some Greek yogurt bart with sweet corn in it. Loaded with fiber, protein. Blueberries add even more nutrition. All sorts of stuff you can do with it.
Sounds good. I kind of like another variation I like is candy corn.
That doesn't count.
Oh.
The orange and the yellow that we get from candy corn does not come for with all of those phytonutrients.
Maybe for dessert after I eat my regular corn?
Yeah. Not going to work quite as well.
Okay. Just thought I'd mention it.
I appreciate the input.
Well, you know, I was just looking here, too. I'm looking online, as I always do, you know, on our subject here, so I can sound like I'm an expert or something.
Because you are, yes.
Yeah, right. National Corn on the Cob Day activities.
Ooh, I like this.
You can attend a parade in Plainview, Minnesota. They have a Corn on the
Cob
Day parade every year. Yes, you can share your pics on social media. You know, take pictures of your corn or your recipes and share them. And brush up on your corn trivia.
I'll have to do that later. I maybe gave you some helpful nutrition facts for your corn trivia here.
And it's a very versatile. You pointed that out. Perfect excuse for a cookout. So,
it is.
Yeah.
Socialization. We talk about that and the importance of being social with your food. Corn is a great way to bring people together because there is so much you can do with it. And when it comes to those risks, the reason it got such a bad reputation in the first place, there's really not a lot of risks unless you have diabetes and you're eating too much or you're not having protein and fat with it. Or if you're on a low fiber diet, it's maybe not the best choice. But for everybody else, enjoy those cobs of corn today or throughout the summer and get all the nutrition you can from it.
And of course, there's popcorn.
And popcorn.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's always good.
You can get some from the Grand.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, right now we're at the moment.
Oh, right now you can't.
The machine is broken down, but a new machine is coming. So
okay.
We'll be popping again soon.
Yes.
All right. All right. Well, Amber, if anybody has any desire to talk about corn or any other subjects dealing with nutrition, how do they find you?
Yep. You can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com or on Facebook at imunutrition. Or you can call here to the radio station and you guys can get people in touch with me.
That's right. Maybe we'll even have some candy corn.
Maybe.
All right. Well, Amber, as always, pleasure talking to you on another Taco Tuesday. We'll see you again next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.